Please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. Why? I've got to start a session. No, I'm trying to start a session. What?
I thought
yeah, but you know, this is crazy. You should have said.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation. your God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our invocation this morning is from Joe Broker, Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in Salem.
Finding your path to significance is an uncommon path. What does it take to live a life of significance? When Indianapolis coach Tony Dungy took home the trophy in the Super Bowl 41, fans across the world looked to him as the epitome of success. Athletic victory, professional excellence, fame and celebrity awards and honors, he had it all. But even at that moment, Tony Dungy knew that these achievements had little to do with ultimate significance as a man. Coach Dungy still passionately believes that there is a different path to significance, a path characterized by attitudes, ambitions, and allegiances that are all too rare, but uncommonly rewarding. In his book, Uncommon, Dungy reveals secrets to achieving significance that he has learned from his remarkable parents, his athletic and coaching career, his mentors, and his walk with God. The kingdom of uncommon people is characterized by a society that welcomes people of all races and social classes, that is characterized by love and not polarization, that cares most for its weakest members, that stands for justice and righteousness in a world enamored with selfishness and decadence, a society in which members compete for the privilege of serving one another. This is what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God. So this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God's gift to you and me is each new day, and our gift back to our Creator is how we use each day. So as uncommon people, let's love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds and all of our strength, and love others as we love ourselves. Amen.
Courtesies of the Senate. Remonstrances. Chair recognizes Senator Hass.
Mr. President, I would ask the Senate to welcome with me today my guest, Andrew Flasker, who is a constituent, whose parents are constituents, and who officially won an official tour of the Capitol. Andrew is going into the sixth grade, 10 years old, at Pilgrim Lutheran in Beaverton, and I ask that you and the full Senate extend to him courtesies as our guest today.
Okay, we will consider that under courtesies. Welcome to your Oregon State Capitol, and thank you for being with Senator Hass today. We hope you have a great day. We are under the order of remonstrances. Are there further remonstrances? Messages from the Governor.
To the Honorable President of the Senate, 70th Legislative Assembly, this is to notify you that our request sent to you May 28, 2009, to consider the appointment of Patricia Clifton for the Commission of Women is hereby withdrawn. Sincerely, Tim Kulgowski, Governor. Mr. President, the Governor appointee has approved and signed the following bills: 106, 135, 409, 533, 539, 571, 622, 631, and 775.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary number 122 was distributed to the members today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Chair recognizes Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus.
Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans also request a 15-minute caucus.
Okay, we have a request for a 15-minute caucus, so the Senate will be in recess until 9:25.
Do we come back? Right? Rick, is this the time you'd say to come back?
The Senate will please come to order. Clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Okay, he's here. Can you see that Zoppo, please? Can I see Zoppo? Zoppo. No, she's not yet. Maybe she is now. She just left. She's right through there.
Quorum is present. Senate recess following order. Reports to special committees and resume under proposition and motion is so ordered. Recognize Senator Floyd Prezansky. Where's Floyd? He's coming. Here he comes, Floyd. What's the matter now?
I know. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the first one that we have for concurrence, I'm going to move that the Senate concur with House amendments and repass Senate Bill 270.
Senator Prezansky has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 2740. A motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, what has happened, this is a bill that went over to the judiciary. They looked at it. They needed to make some modifications. We included in there an oversight that that needed to be taken care of, and that was adding in the protection and confidentiality of juvenile court records when those cases go up on appeal to make certain that they're not going to be just outright open for public records. We also clarified, the amendments clarified that an individual who has been convicted of certain misdemeanors, including violence or dishonesty, are not going to be allowed to be a juror for a five-year period. This is to align part of that with the Constitution that we have, where it says misdemeanants are not able to serve as jurors. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Those who are the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 274, answer aye. Name to call. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call.
Telfer. Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Carter, Dingfelder, Nelson, absent. Atkinson, 25 ayes.
The Senate Bill 270, having received a constitutional majority, is declared to be passed. Senator Frank Morris, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would request return to courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I have with me as a guest Mike Beck. You may recognize that last name as one of our economists in the our Legislative Revenue Office. Mike is 19 years old. He's returning from his first year at New York University, Mr. President, studying economics and philosophy. And he'll be spending the rest of the session until sine die in my office and observing and helping. So, Mr. President, please extend courtesies to Mike. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike, we're pleased you could be here today. I'd like to extend a courtesy Senate to you. And thanks for working with Senator Morris, although he's already an economist. And he already understands the world of finance. So I don't know who's going to learn the most from who, but at least it's going to be a lot of knowledge up there, my fellow senators, in the Frank Morris office. So anyway, thanks a lot, Mike, and glad to have you. I'd like to extend the courtesy to send it to you. Thank you. We return to the regular order of business. I'll recognize Senator Floyd Prezansky, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we have another concurrence that's set for Senate Bill 274. I'm going to ask the President and the body to move that till tomorrow or to Monday's docket, the agenda then. I have an issue that just came up to my attention, and I need to review the 274 and ask that it be set over until Monday.
Without objection, I will set 274, the motion on 274, to the foot of the calendar. Thank you, Senator Prezansky. I will now recognize Senator Prezansky again.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank Mr. You. President, I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 306.
Senator Prezansky has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 306. To your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the House side, they made some modifications reducing the amount of let's say, the limitations for tort actions, basically from $10,000 down to $7,500, and then the limit will increase up in 2012. This is a fine fix. There's a couple other things, but I ask that we repass this with the amendments that the House has provided.
Discussion. Those who are the pen of the extension concur in the House amendments, repass Senate Bill 306. Lance, our eyes name to call those opposed. No clerk, please call the roll.
Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munz Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Burdick, Carter, Nelson, absent. Excused, Burdick, Carter, Nelson, absent, Atkinson. Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 16 ayes.
The Senate Bill 306, having received a constitutional majority, is declared a repass. Recognize Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 309.
Senator Przonski has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 309. To your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is one that the House basically replaced the bill. This is what they were doing here at this point. Removes the provisions regarding the exceptions to hearsay rule. The bill will take effect in July 1, 2011. Those changes are going to be effective for the aggravated murder and or measure 11 offenses unless the person is interviewed as a minor or non-native speaking English speaker, and that the person is being charged with murder or vehicular homicide. This is one that will require recordation of some of these interviews as required by the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munz Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, President Courtney. Excused, Burdick, Carter, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no.
Bill 309, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. I recognize Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur with House amendments and repass Senate Bill 314.
Senator Przonski has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 314. Do you?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the changes that were made on the House side is basically tightening down as to where a person needs to report an accident to a police officer or to a law enforcement agency. These are just technical changes, making certain that the statutes will read as intended. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question of the carrier.
Will the carrier yield?
Yeah.
The carrier will yield.
Thank you, Senator. Don't act so reluctant. I just need to ask one question, and that is, what if you don't know the person is injured? They get up and they say, I'm fine. I mean, I will give you an example.
That's all right. I think I can take the question as you said.
Yeah.
Based on what you said, Senator, if they have no knowledge, they have no duty to report because they have no reason to believe. And so without the knowledge of knowingly or reasonable to suspect that they were, then they have no obligation to report.
Okay. Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Mr. President, because I wanted that clear on the record, because a lot of times when you're in an auto accident, especially a fender bender or something, everybody says, oh, yeah, we're fine, and then they go home, and they either have legitimate injuries that appear or they make them up. But sometimes they come after the fact and you realize you are hurt, but at the time you don't know that, so I just don't want someone to get in trouble for not reporting. So that answers my question, and I will transcribe that and have it available should that ever happen to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? You wish to close, Senator Pazansky?
Mr. President, only that I hope that it doesn't happen to the good senator, that she needs to pull out the transcript. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are the concur in the House Minutes Repass Senate Bill 314. We'll answer aye's name. Call those opposed. No, clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger, Munnis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Carter, ooh. Nelson, absent, Atkinson. Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, ooh. Verger, Winters, Whitsett, 15 ayes.
Getting close. Senate Bill 314, I received a count. Oh, I like. Oh, that's not good. Senator Roy Pazansky, wait a minute, I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, but Mr. President, I changed my vote from aye to nay and give notice of possible reconsideration.
Okay. Senator Devlin, is that what you were going to do? Are you going to still do it or not? You're not going to do it. Senate Bill 314, having failed to receive a constitutional majority, has failed. Is that how you say it? Senator Jeff Cruz, please. What purpose
Mr. President, Mr. President, I move for immediate reconsideration of Senate Bill 314.
So Senator Jeff Cruz has moved for immediate reconsideration of the vote we just took on Senate Bill 314. And Senator Richard Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum and by Senator Vicky Walker. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant at arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munnis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All right, all those subject to the call of present, we're going to vote on a motion for immediate reconsideration. Those in favor of the motion for immediate consideration of Senate Bill 314, which was the concurrence motion that went down, will say aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Winters.
She's right there. Do we know what we're doing?
Yeah. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no, Boquist, George, Gerard, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
The motion to immediately reconsider has passed and been approved. So now the motion to concur to the House amendments, the three Senate Bill 184, is before us. So, Senator Davlin, do you wish to make another motion?
Yes. Call of the Senate.
Thank you. Senator Davlin, it's the mayor to call the Senate is joined by Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Morris. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant-at-arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney. All present.
Subject to the call are present. The question is, here's where we go. Please, I hope everybody's watching this, and nobody is because nobody's listening. I'd like to get your attention, please, so we know what we're doing here. Excuse me. Oh, excuse me. I don't mean to interrupt the young man. Here's the deal. Those who have the opinion the Senate should concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 314. I'm going to read from the script here. Concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 391. We'll answer ayes and names of call. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker.
Senator Walker.
Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Whitsett, Winters, 17 ayes.
The Senate Bill 391, I received a constant majority, is declared repassed. Senator Przonsky.
That was 314. We're now at 391.
314. Senate Bill 391, I received a constant majority, is declared repassed. Senator Przonsky.
391, Senator Dingfelder.
Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 391.
Senator Ducky Dingfell has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments to repass Senate Bill 391. To your motion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't hear. There's a lot of noise behind me. Mr. President and colleagues, the House, there's a couple things in this bill that we had concerns about. However, we are going to concur. The House deleted the exemption for wildlife sanctuaries, a move that I had some reservations about. They also added an exemption for people with disabilities who possess service monkeys. But we decided, working with the proponents of the bill, to concur. So I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Now I recognize Senator Fred Girard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was a no vote the first time around. I continue to be a no vote. There are small cats that the breeders were using to interbreed with other cats were not included. This was supposed to happen in the House. It didn't happen. This is going to put more people out of work in my district, and I ask for a no vote.
Is there further discussion? Recognize Senator Vicky Walker, please.
Oh, boy. A question of the carrier.
Would the carrier answer a question?
Yes, they will.
The carrier will.
I'll try.
Exempts from permit requirement person with disability who possesses service monkey. We actually have service monkeys, like service dogs?
We do.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just needed to clarify that, Mr. President. These are not the monkeys. May I ask another question?
Would the carrier yield? Will the carrier yield?
Yes, I will.
The carrier will yield.
These are not the monkeys where the organ grinder is grinding the organ and they throw in pennies and coins. These are people who actually assist disabled people, or monkeys who actually assist disabled people.
Thank you, Mr. President, and the good senator from... Good guess there. They would have to have a permit, and I'll read you written proof from a medical doctor, such as Doc Bates, that the person has a disability and that the service monkey performs specific tasks for the benefit of the person with a disability.
Okay, Mr. President, I guess I'll buy that one. Thank you.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please declare your potential conflict of interest, please.
I have a client that is a chimpanzee sanctuary.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson, please.
Colleagues, the first time around, I was a no on this bill, and within a matter of weeks, a crocodile began marauding the streets of one of the communities that I represent. As a result, I will be a yes today.
Further discussion? Senator Dingfell, do you wish to close?
No, I think there's been enough discussion on this already. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Those who are dependent, the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 391. We'll answer ayes and names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney. Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Whitsett, 23 ayes.
The Senate Bill 391, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Senator Brzezinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 603.
Senator Brzezinski has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass 603. The motion.
Mr. President, what happened on the House side is they wanted to give clarification as to a vehicle that does not have a trunk about where you would be storing a firearm. We've agreed through the negotiations that it would be appropriate to be able to store that within a locked center console, glove compartment, or other locked container, and that the container itself, if it is operated by a key lock, that the key cannot be inserted into the lock at that time. That's the change, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Those who are the appendix sent to concur in the House of Amendments and repass Senate Bill 603 will answer ayes, nay, and call. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. President Courtney. Excuse. Nelson. Absent. Atkinson. 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 603, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Would the Senator Brzezinski please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 618.
Senator Brzezinski has moved that the House Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 618. To your motion, please.
Mr. President, these are just resolves conflicts within the bill of 618A, and so it's just conflict amendments. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Those who are paying attention, concur in the House of Management, repass Senate Bill 618, will answer ayes. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker,
so Walker,
Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 618, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Mark Haas.
Mr. President, I move the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 637.
Senator Mark Haas has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 637. To your motion, please.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 637 is the integrated pest management bill. The House amendments to the bill clarify that the application of a pesticide at a campus must be consistent with the goals of each school's integrated pest management plan. Essentially, the House amendments say we do appreciate and approve of environmental-friendly cleaning products being used in a managed way in our schools and on our campuses, except for when it comes to toilets. And when it comes to toilets, let's stick to what works for now. And I can't say I disagree. I urge your concurrence.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will the carrier yield to a question?
Will the carrier yield?
Suzanne, you might have to help me on this. Yes.
My apologies to the carrier for not notifying him about a question that I was going to ask, but I was reading the summary of the bill, and the summary of the bill appears to indicate that the legislation would cover the application of germicides and
yes.
disinfectants, sanitizers, deodorizers, antimicrobial agents, or insecticidal soap also. So the pesticide issue, Mr. President, I understand. Does this really cover things like deodorizer, antimicrobial soap, and sanitizers? That's my question, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I will defer to the sponsor of this bill, Senator Bonamici, if that's allowed. Otherwise,
Senator Bonamici, will you consent to answering the question?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay.
The intent of the amendment is just to make sure it came, the request came from the manufacturer of some cleaning products, and we just wanted to make sure that it was consistent with the definitions in the bill, that they were allowed to use a particular type of bathroom cleaners without declaring a pest emergency. That was the intent of the amendment.
Mr. President, could I ask another question, please?
Yes, would the would one of the two senators, well, who, which senator wants to, all right. Senator Bonavici, will you yield to the question? She will.
Yes.
Mr. President, is it an allegation that germicides, disinfectants, sanitizers, and deodorizers or antimicrobial soap is a threat to children in any way, Mr. President?
Do you want me to answer? No, that's not the allegation. We just wanted to make sure. We worked with a lot of toxicologists and people who implement integrated pest management policies and have a lot of knowledge about this. We wanted to make sure that cleaning products could still be used by schools without declaring a pest emergency or requiring a pesticide application license. That is not the intent. We do want to make sure, however, that children are safe in our schools.
Mr. President, to the bill.
Yes,
Mr. President, I understood the bill when the issue was pesticide and creating a management plan for the application of pesticides. That certainly would be something that we would like to have done in a judicious manner and in a manner that's consistent with the requirements of safety. But when the bill applies to germicides and disinfectants and sanitizers and deodorizers and antimicrobial agents and insecticidal soap, then, Mr. President, we're well past the realm of the regulation of pesticide. Mr. President, I would gather that almost all of these products are used almost every day in almost every school. And so to make them a subject of regulation and to require the filing of reports, and I imagine there'd be a necessity to talk about the frequency of the applications and the amount of the application. The bill indicates that there's virtually no financial impact on schools, but I would submit to you, if you add all these other products in there, you probably will end up creating an administrative nightmare for products that are used virtually in every school, virtually every day. So, Mr. President, I wonder if this bill hasn't cast a net wider than the intention of the authors of the bill, because to include soap and deodorizers and sanitizers in the definition of pesticides seems to be a little overreach to me, Mr. President. So I will be voting no.
Thank you. Recognize Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you. Question of the carrier. Well, actually, of the good senator from District 17.
Would the senator respond?
I will. Senator, this would not prevent a school district from still using the Tidy Bowl man.
That is my understanding.
I had a tough time getting that one out, Mr. President, but the Tidy Bowl man was pretty popular when I was a kid. So we can still use any kinds of cleansers as long as they are not a problem.
That is my understanding.
Well, I just wanted a sense of humor this morning, and I think I got it. Mr. President, actually what I want to do is thank the good senator from District 17. She has worked so hard on this bill because she's had to work with some constituents from my district who felt pretty strongly about pesticides in schools, and I was really pleased that she took on this job for me in the interim last session because I did not have the time to devote to it. She's done a great job with this bill, and I think this amendment is just fine, notwithstanding the Tidy Bowl man. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? I recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to clarify that if you look at the bee engrossed version of the bill on page 3, The language specifically says that unless the governing body expressly provides otherwise, the application of a germicide, disinfectant, sanitizer, deodorizer, antimicrobial agent, or insecticidal soap is not subject to the requirements for pesticide application under an integrated pest management plan. It does continue to say that those applications should be consistent with the goal of an integrated pest management plan, which is, as I explained, to protect the health and safety of students. So I hope that clarifies the questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Hatch, do you wish to close? All right. Those with opinions, Senate should concur in the House amendments of 637, Senate Bill 637. We'll answer. Ayes, names called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call and roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. President Courtney.
He's a yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Telfer, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 637, I've received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Excuse
Mr. President,
recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please, but purpose.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I voted for this bill out of committee before I went to the House, but as is usual, when there's a creation of a program with government involvement, at some point in time, the government starts overreaching what they should be doing. In this case, Mr. President, the overreach has started and the bill hasn't even been signed into law yet.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 794.
Senator Przonski, move the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 794. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. This clarifies when a defendant may accept a portion of the offer of a compromise and goes into the addressing the value of property while rejecting a portion regarding the attorney fees. This is a compromise that was worked out on the House side between the two interested parties, major interested parties of the City of Portland, as well as the Oregonians in Action, and I have received a note that they urge a concurrence, and so I do too.
Thank you. There's a discussion. Those who are the opinion that Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 794, answer ayes, names called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 794, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Senator Mark Hass, please.
Mr. President, I ask for concurrence and ask that this bill be repassed.
Senator Marquez has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 871. To your motion.
Mr. President, the Senate passed 871 on a 28-0 bill earlier this year. It permits the Office of Emergency Management to accept money to be used by the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland to strengthen security in and around their community centers. The House amendment simply specified that donations or grants can be aggregated to reach the $250,000 threshold of grants that's in the bill. Those are really good changes, and I ask that we concur in these House amendments.
Thank you. Is the discussion? Those of you that are then should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 871. Will answer ayes, names called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Wanath Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 871, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Senator Foy Brzezinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 874.
Senator Brzezinski has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 874. To your motion, please.
Mr. President, these are also conflict amendments between two bills, Senate Bill 58 and the bill before us, Senate Bill 874, at that time A.
Is there further discussion? Those who depend in the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 874. I'll answer ayes, name, and call those opposed. No, clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munns Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Metzger, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 18 ayes.
The Senate Bill 874, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Recognize Senator Bonamici, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate refuse to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 973.
Senator Bonamici has moved that the Senate refuse to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 973. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I have a lengthy memo here with legal citations that I'm tempted to share with you, but after the signy die skit last night, I'm going to tell you that there were some amendments that were included in the House that were well-intentioned. However, there have been some serious concerns raised about the constitutionality of a disclosure and the scope of the additional disclosure that they added in the House. So what I would like to do is narrow those amendments and bring the bill right back for your concurrence. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion. Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted no on this bill when it was on the floor, and I actually like the House amendments. They take us in a good direction, so I'm going to vote no on this refuse to concur, but obviously urge that when we go to conference committee that that the House amendments be strongly considered to fix and protect consumers in this whole entire transaction. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion. You wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Voice vote. All those in favor of the motion to not concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 973. All right, then if it's demanded, all those in favor of the motion to not concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 973 will answer ayes and names. And all those opposed, no. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz, Metzger, Munns Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 18 ayes.
The motion has carried. The Senate has refused to concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 973. I appoint the following conferees to Senate Bill 973, Senator Amici, Senator Rosenbaum, and Senator Girard. I appoint the following conferees to House Bill 2175, Senator Brzezinski, Senator Bonamici, and Senator Boquist. Proposition and motions recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 2228, in consideration of the committee and my minority report to House Bill 3298, be taken from their place on today's third reading calendar and be made a special order of business immediately, and I ask for a call of the Senate.
Senator Devlin has moved that the House Bill 2228, in consideration of the committee and minority reports of House Bill 3298, be taken from their place on today's third reading calendar and be made a special order of business immediately, and he has asked for a call of the Senate. He is to be joined by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum and by Senator Lori Montes Anderson. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and Sergeant Arms will attend, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter,
does this take
Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse,
no, he didn't ask to
Nelson,
the rules.
Brzezinski, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All right, we're voting on to make this a special order of business immediately. That is the motion that is basically before us. It takes a majority of the vote. All those in favor, you're going to have a voice call. You do not. Thank you very much. All those in favor of making the special order of business and immediately will please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. All right, the motion has carried. Now, here we go. Senator Devlin. We will now proceed to the special order of business. The clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 2228, the transfer of building rights from resource lands to garden emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, all across America and the nation, private commercial timberland is being converted at an alarming rate to residential uses. This activity results in the loss of wildlife habitat, scenic views, recreation opportunities, and timber jobs. However, this bill represents a remarkable opportunity to protect important wildlife habitat, scenic views, provide public recreation for growing communities, and maintain a sustainable timber harvest utilizing timber jobs. In short, House Bill 2228 gives us a creative tool to help keep forest land in production, and this is with the transfer of development rights. One example where this will apply is the Skyline Forest in Central Oregon. The Skyline Forest represents much of the scenic view from Bend, Tumalo, and Redmond. It's nearly 50 square miles, comprised of a broad swath of the foothills below the high Cascades. And there is tremendous support in Central Oregon for protection of the skyline forest. This support comes from a broad range of Oregonians, includes residents of the area, public officials, conservationists, the timber industry, and others. This is a voluntary transfer of development rights, and House Bill 2228 will allow a total of 282 homes to be built on 1,200 acres, while allowing a community-based nonprofit to purchase nearly 65,000 acres of forest land. This will, in fact, create the Skyline Community Forest west of Bend, which will protect forests along the Little Deschutes River from Lapine to Crescent. Again, the provisions of this bill are all voluntary, but they have the support of many Oregonians who want to decrease the wholesale conversion of commercial forest land to other uses. House Bill 2228 provides an innovative means to concentrate and minimize the impacts of development, while at the same time protecting the important forest for future generations. Colleagues, the proponents of this bill worked tirelessly, came together on a consensus agreement after many, many hours, weeks, months of work. This is an important piece of legislation. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Is there a further... Yeah, recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I think we've all had that moment where somebody has approached us and said, well, I have good news and I have bad news. House Bill 2228 is exactly that. A little bit of good news and a little bit of bad news. The good news first, House Bill 2228 is a remarkable opportunity to protect an amazing area of land that is full of wildlife, breathtaking scenic views that will provide public recreation and access, and at the same time maintain a sustainable timber industry, and that is the Skyline Forest. The bad news, though, is it also allows the state to bully its way into an ongoing land use process that will dezone a valuable economic enhancement to Jefferson County. Jefferson County has probably been hit the hardest in the state of Oregon with this economic crisis, with more than 20% unemployed and more than 25% of the residents of Jefferson County receiving food stamps. It is possible that the transfer of development rights in the bill could even move this valuable asset out of Jefferson County and have it become a new tax base to some other area of the state. Unlike the good news, bad news, I'm going to end on a piece of good news. I have dropped Senate Bill 983 in case 2228 fails. And in Senate Bill 983, it focuses only on retaining the good parts of House Bill 2228, and that is in support of the Skyline Forest. I urge your no vote on 2228.
Recognize Suzanne Bonamici, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
One of the parties affected by this bill is represented by the law firm in which my husband is a partner. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, you know, this bill is an enabling piece of legislation that essentially is more like a burglar tool than it is a bill. And what I mean by that is that the previous speaker alluded to the bullying tactics of the LCDC muscling its way into the lawful authority of Jefferson County to plan its own land use destiny. And that's exactly what is happening. This bill is the enabling piece of legislation that would create the transferable development rights that is supposed to mollify or become the trade bait for what is essentially a coercive process of confiscation. So let's not dress this up as a bill that's going to facilitate timber jobs. That is a laughably ridiculous argument. Let's not dress this up as a facilitator for the Skyline Forest, a bill which would pass easily on this floor were it to appear individually and separately. Let's not call this anything but what it is. It's a mechanism for a smash-and-grab takeover of the land use authority of Jefferson County, and it's a mechanism to bully and coerce landowners into accepting a compromise that no sane, rational person would accept and that no Oregonian should even have to entertain. This is part of what I consider to be the definition of corruption in Oregon, the definition of a corrupt process where we see undue influence put on state officials, undue influence put on county officials, usurpation of lawful authority, negation of public process. This is, colleagues, just about as bad as it gets. And we're going to put a little coat of varnish on this and a little lipstick on it and run it out as a compromise bill. Mr. President, this saddens and sickens me to see how this process can be abused and perverted. Again, Mr. President, this bill is my personal definition of political corruption in Oregon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Fred Girard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I live in the heart of timber, and I think I have probably one of the best votes, if not the best vote, representing timber in this body. This is not, and I repeat, not a pro-timber bill. This is a black eye for the Senate.
Further discussion? Senator Dingfelder, you wish to close?
I would. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like to just remind my colleagues that the elements in this bill that refer to transfer of development rights are voluntary. I also want to emphasize that this is a locally developed response to a nationwide loss of commercial timberland, and I really believe that this could be a model for communities all across Oregon and the West. This is an important bill to the future of Central Oregon, and once again, I ask for your aye vote and respectfully request a call of the Senate.
Senator Jackie Dingfelder is the mayor to call of the Senate. She's joined by Senator Richard Devlin and Senator Diane Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant of arms will attend, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
Missing Senator Starr and Senator George, I believe. Thank you. Missing Senator George. They know where he is. All those subject to the call are now present.
The question now arises upon a third reading, the final passage of the House Bill 2228. Those who have the opinion the bill should pass will say aye. The names are called. Those opposed, would the clerk please call the roll?
George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Nelson. Voting no. Or absent. Atkinson. Voting no. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Cruz. Metzger. Morse. Starr. Telfer. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. 16 ayes.
The House Bill 2228, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. We will now take action on the committee and the minority reports on House Bill 3298. The clerk will read the committee report and the minority report on House Bill 3298.
Senate Committee Report, President Courtney, your Committee on Rules, to whom is referred House Bill 3298A, having had a similar consideration, respectfully reports back, recommending due passage of amendments to the bill, A, engrossed. Senate Minority Report, President Courtney, Minority and Committee on Rules, to whom is referred House Bill 3298A, having had a similar consideration, respectfully reports back, recommending due passage of different amendments to A, engrossed bill, printed B, engrossed minority.
Recognize Senator Bates, please. The board is wrong. Recognize Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today I have the pleasure of bringing you House Bill 3298. This is a comprehensive solution that we must do for what I believe must be done for the Metolius River. In order to make this something that is a gem in Oregon, remain a gem in Oregon, we must do, I believe, three things. First, we must save the Metolius itself. We must ensure that future developments are truly green, and we must respect the principle of private property rights by accurately recognizing the current rights of the particular property owners and then treating the property owners and the county fairly. This is what this bill does. First, it accepts the unanimous area of critical concern nomination by the LCDC. Secondly, it prevents the siting of destination resorts within this area of critical concern. And third, it adopts the management plan governing future uses that ensures no negative impacts in stream flows to the Metolius and no adverse impact to fish and wildlife with large-scale development. Under the Metolius Protection Act, the developers have the following options and remedies. They can do with the land what they were able to do when they bought it. They bought land zoned for forestry and agriculture, so they are entitled to build one house multiplied by the minimum acreage for a dwelling. Two, they can file a Measure 49 claim. If they believe rights are taken, Measure 49 exists for just that reason. The plan preserves the right of the landowners to file Measure 49 claims. Three, pursue eco-friendly development that would fit within the management plan. The Act stipulates that future development within the area of the critical concern must not reduce stream flows in the Metolius River and must not adversely impact fish and wildlife resources in the area. And fourth, build their projects in a more appropriate place by utilizing the transfer of development opportunity authorized by House Bill 2228.
You have now explained the committee report. You need to move the committee report on House Bill 3298.
President, I move that the committee report, House Bill 3298, be adopted.
Thank you. You have explained that committee report. I will now recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the minority report be substituted for the committee report on House Bill 3298.
Senator Ted Ferrioli has moved that the minority report be substituted for the committee report on House Bill 3298. Senator Ferrioli, would you please explain your motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of the minority report to House Bill 3298, but let's be clear on the history of the Metolius debacle. In 2005, Jim Keane and Shane Lundgren purchased 627 acres of heavily logged private forest land. Not pristine, not untouched, heavily logged. In December of 2006, using a process given high marks by DLCD, Jefferson County, a county I represent, adopted a map with two destination resort sites. In 2007, the legislature introduced Senate Bill 30, which would have banned these two resorts. Colleagues, that bill failed on the Senate floor because it was so bad. In June 2007, Governor Kulongoski issued a letter saying that he would veto legislation containing any site-specific designations, namely Senate Bill 30. In 2008, LUBA handed down its initial 53-page opinion on the first appeal of the Jefferson County mapping process. It rejected the vast majority of claims by opponents. Spurious claims were rejected. The few that it did remand to the county were quickly and easily dispatched. In June 2008, the Metolian team met with DLCDC and members of the governor's staff. They were told at that time that no legislation was contemplated. No legislation was contemplated as a rerun of Senate Bill 30. In other words, they got a clear message from the governor's office. There won't be a challenge. Go ahead and raise your funding. In December of 2008, a team from the Metolian completed a 600-page development application. This application was a radically novel approach targeting outdoor recreationists in all the ways that raised the bar for sustainable development targeted to ecotourism, the kind of ecotourism, colleagues, that we promote so heavily in Oregon. You like Cycle Oregon? You like the outdoor recreation that is involved in the pole, pedal, paddle exercises in Bend? The stuff that engages people and connects them to the land, those are the kind of ecotourism activities that are planned for this resort. In December 2008, the Oregon Supreme Court decided to hear the remaining 2 points on the appeal. These related to deer and elk winter range and to groundwater applied to the Metolian project. Neither of these issues apply to the project that's proposed for the Metolian. 3 years, colleagues, 3 years after DLCD gave Jefferson County high marks for its process, this January, DLCD initiated the whole concept of the area of critical state concern and began their process to prohibit Jefferson County from implementing its lawfully developed comprehensive plan, despite the fact that the review of the plan and code are still underway by the judicial system. Colleagues, the administrative branch is muscling its way into a position to supersede the judiciary on an appeal that is still pending. Arguments will be presented later this summer. It's anticipated that your judicial review will follow the pattern of all the other reviews that have upheld the Jefferson County process as legal, proper, public, participatory, in the best traditions of democracy. In an error-ridden 77-day process, replete with instances of the agency violating its own rules and presenting the most dubious science, including inaccurate maps, what I would consider data that was falsified, will not stand up to any scrutiny. DLCD's management plan was presented to this legislature. Mr. President, that whole process began with a visit from the DLCD director, Mr. Whitman, to my office to inform me that it was his research that had unearthed this buried provision in the original Senate Bill 100 that allows the creation of these statewide areas of special concern, and that it was his instruction from the governor of the state of Oregon that under no circumstances would development be allowed in the Matoulian, and that the mechanism for preventing that development would be the designation of the Matoulian as an area of statewide special concern. And when I asked him directly if any other outcome was possible, his answer to me was, no, Senator, no other outcome is possible from this process. To reward the visionaries, I guess to remove the sting of confiscation of their property rights, the developers of the Matoulian have been offered House Bill 2228, which you have just passed. This was supposed to be something of a consolation prize for the destruction of their personal property rights and the destruction of Jefferson County's lawful authority. But these development rights are not compensation for the vision that's been presented in the Matoulian. Now, in the minority report, colleagues, you have an opportunity to do something that, in my opinion, amounts to salvaging the integrity of the Senate, upholding the democratic processes of Jefferson County and protecting the integrity of Senate Bill 100 and the land use system that we've dedicated ourselves to for the past 30-some years. This is your opportunity, maybe your only opportunity in this session, to salvage the integrity of the Senate by adopting the minority report, because it does offer a balanced approach to the issue. And let me tell you, there's huge compromise in this minority report. It actually maintains the area of critical statewide concern recommendations for the Ponderosa property. That in itself is a huge concession. It permits a small pilot version of the original Matoulian vision to proceed with 45 lodging units and 95 cabins. Originally, the property had been approved for 450 units with 180 overnight accommodations. In addition, $1.5 million will be invested in off-site environmental restorations, and those efforts would be directed into the reparation of the damages that have already been done in the Matoulian Basin by overuse and neglect in the area of Camp Sherman and associated camping and recreational areas. This investment would more than offset any effect of the scaled-down Matoulian development. In fact, I'd submit that the net incremental improvement in the basin could occur as these funds would be used to reverse the many decades of degradation that have been caused by Black Butte Ranch and Camp Sherman. The two proposals represent less than one-tenth of what was originally contemplated. This tremendously scaled-back Matoulian proposal, when contrasted against 1,175 Black Butte Ranch homes and more than 300 residents in Camp Sherman, represents only a 10% increase to the development in the entire area. We do not believe that this will be the tipping point in the basin, given what's already occurred in the basin, especially when connected with the rigorous plans for restoration and the funding mechanism to accomplish the restoration, $1.5 million that cost the taxpayer nothing
$1.5 million real dollars aimed at real restoration right now in the Mattole. The minority report permits the team from the Mattole to develop their rigorously thought out and sustainable development plan that targets sustainable outdoor recreation. This is cutting edge and innovative development that will also serve as an example for other projects in the state, in the region, and in the nation. The minority report will assist us in avoiding the Measure 49 legal liabilities. And it removes any hint of political cronyism, trade bait, the kind of thing we've been reading about in the Oregonian this last few days. Lastly, it sends a message to other entrepreneurs, the same message I think that was sent by a former governor when he said, come visit but don't stay unless you're willing to meet our standards in Oregon for environmental protection. There's a portrait of the speaker of those words just outside this chamber. And he set a high bar. And we have built an ethos on that statement that you're welcome in Oregon if you're willing to meet the high bar that we expect Oregonians to meet if they're to have the privilege of development in Oregon. So what kind of a message are we sending? Colleagues, these developers have invested $3.8 million in the project that is environmentally sustainable, that will bring 100 living wage jobs to Jefferson County, more than any government giveaway program, more than the stimulus, the myth of stimulus that we've been hearing about in this legislative session, real jobs. In Jefferson County, the county I represent, the capital of hunger in Oregon, a place where the unemployment rate is at 20%, likely higher, Mr. President, because of the number of people who've given up looking for work in Central Oregon. They are no longer considered unemployed. A quarter of the population in Jefferson County is now on public assistance or food stamps. You've heard a lot about the pristine nature of the area and how the Metolius River itself is threatened. Well, colleagues, the project is 3.8 miles from the headwaters of the Metolius. That's the same distance from where I stand to the Illihi Country Club. 3.8 miles away. This project isn't going to use the groundwater. It's not even going to use the groundwater. It isn't going to have a negative impact on the Metolius Basin, other than in the minds of some people. This development is green. It's sustainable. It's been carefully and properly planned. It's legal. It should be allowed to go forward. Through this entire process, the developers have offered compromise after compromise. This minority report gives everyone the opportunity to do two things. You can vote yes and declare the Metolius Basin as an area of statewide critical concern. You can do that with a yes vote. And you can vote yes to allow this proposed eco-resort to go forward in a very scaled-back manner. The proposed developments under the provisions of the minority report are less than a quarter of those that were originally planned. It allows you to do one other thing, colleagues. A yes vote on the minority report allows you to salvage the integrity of the Senate. Don't think that's not at stake in this vote. Mr. President, colleagues, I urge that we adopt the minority report, that we substitute this compromise for what is essentially repudiation of land use planning in Oregon, denial of democracy in Jefferson County, interference with due process at the Supreme Court. The frustration of the hopes and dreams of those who would like to work for a living in Jefferson County. That's what the majority report does. The choice is really a fairly clear choice. So I hope that you'll think about our integrity, you'll think about what's offered here as compromise for the minority report, and I hope that you will adopt it. Thank you, Mr. President.
If you recognize, Senator Jeff Cruz and Senator Doug Whitson yield their time. Recognize Senator Bruce Starr, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, today I rise in support of the minority report in House Bill 3298. With unemployment in Oregon at 12% and rising, there's no question that we need to be working hard to create new jobs in our state. Nationwide, the bulk of job growth is widely expected to grow in green-collar jobs. These jobs would focus on environmental, energy efficiency, and clean, renewable energy issues. We'll see rapid growth in the coming years, even as jobs that are tied to unsustainable business models will disappear. Colleagues, many states are trying to lay claim to these evolving industries. In Oregon, has often been on the front lines as a front runner when it comes to creating new policies in many areas, including land use, recycling, and health care. The natural beauty of our state, our young, educated population, and our propensity toward independent thinking are all things that put Oregon in a great position to be at the forefront of job creation in these new industries. But it's not enough to be capable of creating those jobs. We need to support this clean, green economic development with smart policies. And we need to make sure that policies and politics do not get in the way. There are many opportunities to create green-collar jobs, and we can't afford to walk away from any of them, at least not without good reason. Colleagues, there are two co-managers of the Matolian, Jim Keane and Shane Lundgren, who are trying to bring ecotourism to Oregon. Colleagues, they plan to build an eco-resort that will improve the range and quality of recreational experiences in the Matolius Basin, while at the same time reducing impact on natural areas and ecosystems. Perhaps more importantly, the project will introduce stewardship-based development to Oregon through the Matolian Natural Capital Fund, which will generate funds to restore ecosystems that have been damaged by unsustainable forest management and irresponsible recreation. Colleagues, tourism is a major source of revenue in our state. In 2007, it accounted for $8.3 billion and supported more than 91,000 jobs. At the same time, according to the World Tourism Organization, sun and sand tourism has matured as a market and is not expected to grow. While you may not think of Oregon as a sun and sand destination, consider the number of destination resorts that are built around golf courses. Golf courses that soak up an average of 535 gallons of water per day. That is not sustainable tourism, even in rainy Oregon. And colleagues, it is not a growth market. In contrast, experiential tourism, which encompasses ecotourism, nature, heritage, cultural, and soft adventure tourism, is among the sectors expected to grow most quickly over the next two decades. If we do not as a state embrace ecotourism, we risk not only missing out on a new growth market, but we also risk falling seriously behind in a sector of the economy that counts for more than 5% of Oregon's GDP. There are examples of sustainably designed ecotourism throughout the world. La Laguna Flamingos in Mexico, Yulu Gura in Malaysia, and of course, Costa Rica. These projects set the stage for allowing future generations to have low-impact access to nature while reversing 20th century damage. The United States lags in this policy area, but Oregon, our Oregon, with its great natural and human resources, as well as its penchant for independent thought, has the potential to once again lead the way. Let's not squander that potential. Join me in voting yes on the minority report. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill.
To the minority.
Thank you, colleagues. I rise in support of the minority report, not because it's a great idea. It's a compromise. In fact, I don't know who the historian was that said it, but it's a better of two evils is what it is, in fact. I sat on the original policy committee that listened to these issues. We had multiple bills listening to them. We'll probably hear multiple bills next session about this same issue again. I looked at the maps. Water runs downhill. I know where water goes. I was pretty tainted my first two terms in the House of Representatives over an issue in the southern part of my district in Harrisburg that one would think has absolutely nothing to do with this subject but has everything to do with this subject. The water uses in the Metolius Basin and where that water goes to, through political maneuvering and political efforts of the executive branch, destroyed a business in my district. And so I know probably as much, if not more, about the water, the USGS maps, the entire economic structure, and all of the water issues and ecological issues in the basin of the Metolian. Nothing to do with being over there, nothing to do with owning land over there, nothing to do with any of these developments. Simply to do with a political move to destroy a business in my district. Now, our predecessors, and this is what irritated me in the House, it irritates me now. Our predecessors passed a law originally called SB 100, and we have tampered with it and tinkered with it and done everything else and done a big look and done Measure 49 and done Measure 37 and done Measure 7 and all kinds of other things. But the bottom line is pretty simple. Either we or the people passed laws. And this is supposed to be a republic, or you could call it a plural democracy, or you could call it a socialist democracy, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is we, the legislature, and the people passed laws and said, local authorities, you must follow the laws. And in this particular case, local authorities followed the laws. In this particular case, citizens followed the laws. And in a nutshell, in the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second, the governor didn't like the outcome of the law. So the majority, and the majority always rules, has the ability to do what it's going to do, and that's jerk the rug right out from underneath the law, jerk the rug right out from underneath the citizens, throw our republic in the trash can, and do what historians warned us not to do or to be aware of. The tyranny of the majority is just as bad as a dictatorship.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson, please.
Mr. President, out of an abundance of caution, I rise to declare a potential conflict of interest with respect to a vote on the minority report. My family owns land in the Metolius Basin, and I am party to a lawsuit to require Jefferson County to follow certain land use laws.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Further discussion. Senator Farrelly, do you wish to close? He does not. Senator Devlin, are you making a call?
Yes.
Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, and he's joined by Senator Lori Montes Anderson. The doorkeepers will bar the door. The sergeant arms will attend. The clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All those subject to the call are now present. We're voting on the minority report. The question now arises upon the substitution of the minority report for the committee report. All those in favor will answer aye as the names are called. All those opposed, no. The clerk will please call the roll.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Johnson. Cruz.
No.
Cruz. Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. President Courtney.
No.
Excuse. Nelson. Absent. Atkinson. Voting no. Bates. Bonamici. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Haas. Johnson. Metzger. Montes-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Verger, Walker, President Courtney, 10 ayes.
The minority report has failed. In accordance with SR 8.602, the Senate will take action immediately on the third reading of House Bill 3298 as amended by the committee report. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3298, Land Reserves and Current Emergency.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I again move...
Senator Fred Girard, for what purpose do you rise?
I was just wishing to speak to the bill, so I jumped the gun a little bit.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt, Senator Bates. Would you now present, please?
Well, if the good senator, I'd like to speak in favor of the bill, I'd let him speak now, but I don't think he wants to. I again present House Bill 3298 to you. I'm not going to go through the bill and what it does. We've heard that already. I do want to bring some things into perspective, if I could, however. First thing I want to talk to you about is the history of the Metolius as far as this issue is concerned. This is something from the Bend Bulletin I'd like to read to you. It says, dated September 10th, 1913. 1913. But it is not too early for Central Oregon people who do not wish to see one of the finest outing places of the state destroyed to begin thinking the matter over and planning to preserve the river as a national park, a national park. Under the big pines, by the crystal clear and cold waters of the Metolius, is an ideal place for camping trips. The fishing is good. I would add it's tough, but good. The air is incomparable, and the sunshine and shade make it delightful for resting the mind and the body and forgetting the cares and worries of the world. I hope to be on the Metolius tomorrow. The government sets aside other less favored spots for public and parks, and there is no legitimate reason, it seems, why such action should not be taken in this case. If the matter is ably presented to the proper officials, when the time comes, favorable results may be the outcome. In the meantime, it is not too early to have the matter in mind, and it is a matter that should be of interest to all the people of the Central Oregon area, especially the Central Oregon area, and those of Western Oregon to a lesser degree. What a change we have seen in that attitude today from what we've heard on this floor. Local people of Central Oregon in 1913 recognizing the beauty, the special place the Metolius is, and wanting to make it a national park. We've heard about Tom McCall today also. Let me refresh your memory about Tom McCall, a great Republican governor. In 1974, he addressed then the new LCDC, one of its first meetings. And he spoke broadly about what he expected LCDC to be doing and what he expected that to mean for Oregon in the future. He stated that local control in most cases is the best control, and he accepted that as a fact with state overlay. But he said there were two important exceptions to that, in his mind, two special places in Oregon where local control should not be imposed. He felt the state needed to step into those two areas. One was the Columbia River Gorge, and the second was the Metolius River drainage. I think that speaks a lot about what we're talking about here. Let's fast forward real quickly to 1989. The Oregonian, again, saving the Metolius, October 13th, 1989. I'll make a quick quote from this long article. Attracting more people to the Metolius is a destination resort mentality that can ruin a fragile area. I could go on and on about the history of this area, but I'm not going to. I'll end with just with one statement, and I'll close later. 2 days ago, a governor that I have great respect for, Mr. Vic Attia, endorsed this bill and wants this bill to go through. I think that speaks worlds about what the importance of the Metolius is, not only to people in Central Oregon, but across this state, across this state. Thank you.
Thank you. We're now in a discussion. Recognize Senator Fred Girard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to correct the good senator from Ashland. I would have loved to carry this bill. I would have carried it right to the garbage can and thrown it in the garbage can. This bill is the absolute worst thing that we can have in land use and is absolutely the worst thing that we can have in this chamber. Now, for you that don't know, I love to fish. I started fishing the Metolius when I was 8 years old, along with Subtle Lake and Clear Lake. This is a very important area for me. But I believe very strongly that if we're going to have a land use system, this body cannot be the judge, the final say as to what happens in any area, any land use decision. It is a scary thing for this body. And when we talk about LCDC, it shouldn't stand for local control don't count. And that's exactly what the locals are saying, and that's what LCDC stands for in my area. And people in rural Oregon are fed up. This is, again, another black eye. The first bill we heard was one black eye. This is the second. I urge a no vote.
Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. More years ago than I care to remember, my high school classmate Steve Wheeler's father, Bob Wheeler, owned a ranch on the Matoles River above its confluence with the Deschutes. He used to go down there and fish. It was a beautiful place. We also used to fish at the Palisades State Park, which is now both the park and Bob Wheeler's ranch are under the waters of Lake Billy Chinook now. The difference here, Mr. President, is when the state took Bob Wheeler's ranch in order to make the dam and flood the area, they did it through eminent domain. And they actually paid the man for his property. They paid the man for the property that they took. The state of Oregon has the right, the people, to exercise that eminent domain and take property. But they must pay for it when they do it. They must pay fair market value. 40-some years later, we're doing the same thing, only we're not paying for it. We're manipulating, we're conniving, we're doing all sorts of machinations in order to avoid paying the people for the property and the property rights that we're taking. I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, as we wind down the clock on this 75th Legislative Assembly, we still have a number of important decisions ahead of us, and one of those is whether or not this body will interfere with a land use case that is currently pending before the Oregon Supreme Court. House Bill 3298 will set a precedent where we as an elected body choose to usurp the Supreme Court's review of a land use matter that to date has followed the clearly laid out levels of review. This is an unwarranted maneuver by the Legislative Assembly. In fact, it is unconscionable. House Bill 3298 is bad public policy for a lot of reasons. One, it adopts an area of critical state concern and the accompanying management plan for a 442-square-mile area that was developed by DLCD in approximately 70 days. It is being proposed against Jefferson County's objections and without providing adequate public notice or relying on a factual basis for its conclusions and requirements. House Bill 3298 says to Oregon counties that we, as a legislative assembly, are better informed and positioned to set policy on local land use issues than their locally elected officials. And House Bill 3298 says to our constituents, business community, and local governments that we, as an elected body, will change the rules in the middle of the game if it serves the narrow interests of specific state politicians, regardless of whether established public processes and rules have been followed. Make no mistake.
Excuse me.
President, I remind us that it is against our rules to impugn the motives of any person in this body.
Senator Telfer.
I offer apologies to individuals that may have found that to be an attack on them. I do not choose to attack anybody individually.
Please proceed, Senator Telfer.
Make no mistake, this bill has nothing to do with protecting or enhancing the Matoles Basin. This is only aimed at prohibiting any type of new development in the basin, and in the process, it destroys a legitimate economic development strategy for a very poor rural county, a county with the largest recipient of state assistance, including food stamps. We need to move past the notion that development equals bad and obstructive environmentalism. Doc Bates mentioned the Central Oregonians felt this was a special area. I'm from Central Oregon, and we think it's a special area, and we want to protect it. But as an Oregonian, I want to protect our land use rules also. We need to honor our land use system and permit the county's mapping process to exhaust all legal remedies in determining whether the map is valid. We are making a mockery of the land use system by cherry-picking projects and policies that could threaten the haves, ability to keep the have-nots, and changing the rules in a manner that will forever scar Oregon's reputation as a land use planning leader. We can't let DLCD act in rogue fashion to exempt itself from the rules and regulations that apply to every state agency and local government. Our land use system is respected because of its ambitious goals and its inherent certainty. House Bill 3298 tramples over the goals and removes the certainty. This is unacceptable and creates a slippery slope that can place other legitimately adopted public policies at risk of becoming prey to emotion. Let's vote to preserve our land use system. Let's vote to allow a poor rural county to implement a legitimate economic development strategy as 8 other counties have done. Let's vote no on House Bill 3298.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson, please.
Mr. President, I rise to declare a conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict of interest.
At most, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest, but certain perceptions of conflict of interest may differ from the code that guides our ethics, so I am declaring an actual conflict of interest. Then I will follow the requirement in our rules to vote on the bill, even if there may be a conflict. This bill will help protect and preserve the Metolius River Basin, one of our scenic and environmental treasures, a treasure that enriches all Oregonians. Additionally, I have joined a lawsuit to require Jefferson County to follow the land use laws that this body has adopted. This bill that we're about to vote on may help that case. Some folks have told me that I have the opposite of a conflict of interest. Resort development could increase the value of my family's land. But money has never been the issue. If money mattered, my family wouldn't have granted generations of Oregonians the opportunity to visit the place on our land where the Clear Metolius headwaters rushes from the mountains. They did this by the gift of that land to the people of the United States. This bill is about protecting and preserving the best of the state. It is a cause in which I am honored to be seen as having a special interest.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Mr. President, out of an abundance of caution, I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
One of the parties affected by this bill is represented by the law firm in which my husband is a partner. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will start out by giving notice of a potential conflict of interest out of an abundance of caution.
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
Although I have no legal or financial interest in property along the Metolius River, some other members of my family do. Thank you, Mr. President. Here before us, colleagues, we have one of Oregon's most prized, pristine treasures in our hands. We also have a group of developers who seek to permanently alter and impair the natural beauty of this beloved area for their own economic gains. The Metolius River starts at the base of beautiful Black Butte and winds around the small town of Camp Sherman before ending its journey in the Deschutes River. Not only does the humble town of Camp Sherman adore the Metolius River and its basin, but the legislature has also received thousands of letters and postcards from constituents of all districts in Oregon and the Northwest alike, with outpourings of support of this bill coming from all states in the Northwest. Clearly, the Metolius River is a special place which deserves to be protected in today's society, where many people are too caught up in the quick pace of life and where many of nature's most prized natural possessions are disappearing into developments. It is necessary to forever protect the Metolius River in order to offer future generations the opportunity to encounter a place of natural, undeveloped beauty. The idea of declaring an area of critical state concern arose from cases like the Metolius River. In the mid-1970s, the idea came up to protect the Metolius that was described earlier. Five different sections of land in Oregon were considered for protection. Four of those received it, but the Metolius did not because the government thought that the local services were doing a decent job of keeping it undeveloped. In 2007, it was proposed in Senate Bill 30 to protect the Metolius watershed, but it was opposed by the governor because it was believed that the Metolius was already under protection. This, however, turned out to be not true. So today, colleagues, we are blessed with the opportunity to forever protect the Metolius River. With just one vote of support for you, from you, we can keep the Metolius undeveloped and pristine for generations to come. Colleagues, at my desk is my intern and niece, Christine Hardesty, who is also the great-great-granddaughter of the lawyer, soldier, author, and poet Charles Erskine Scott Wood. At the end of his life, Wood, who is deeply connected to the Metolius River Basin, captured the beauty of the Metolius with this poem. For those grandchildren who share with me this solitude and whom I must too shortly leave, I give all trout in the Metolius. I give mornings on the riverbank, song of the river when the new sun shines, and the solemn discourse of the pines. At evening when the melting shadows fall and peace sits on the bank with folded wings, the birds all offering a good night call. And deep in dusk, a yellow warbler sings. The river is for delight. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. I rise in opposition to House Bill 3298, and I'd like to talk a little bit about process, because what we're doing here is designating the Metolius Basin as an area of critical concern, and I think that has great merit. But I think this process is a process of critical concern, and I want to take you back to 2 years ago in the Senate Education General Government Committee, which I served, in which we dealt at great lengths with Senate Bill 30. 2 years ago, a process was underway, but had not gone too far down the road, and we looked at the merits of providing protections under Senate Bill 30, which I supported and spoke for on this floor. The legislature and through the executive branch sent a different message, and if I could, Mr. President, I'd just like to read from printed material.
Please feel free to do so.
It's the proposed veto letter by Governor Kulongoski at the time on Senate Bill 30. It says, I believe Jefferson County's remapping to allow the county to evaluate particular proposals to site destination resorts in the Metolius Basin should be assessed on the basis of its compliance with the legal standards and procedures set forth in state and local law. I understand there are several challenges to the county's decision now before the Land Use Board of Appeals. I support following the established processes for resolving those challenges as they relate to land use decisions. I think the governor made a very good point, because the legislature and the executive branch at that point set a process that we were going to follow, and now 2 years later, when much more has been moved down the line, we're coming back and taking away that process. I think some of the most compelling testimony that we had in the Senate Rules Committee about a week or so ago was from the Association of Oregon Counties. And I'm going to paraphrase now, but the testimony went something like this, that in opposition to this bill and the bill that we previously voted on, 2228, the county representative said, this presents a very significant barrier to the trust between state and local government on executing our land use system. And if this particular process, which we are affirming today in Senate Bill or House Bill 3298, were to be done at a local level, it would, as the spokesman said, been remanded back so quickly for greater attention that no local land use authority would do a process such as what we did at state level. So I'm concerned about the process. I know there's a lot of talk about the end result, and I will tell you, as I did 2 years ago, I support the end result, but I do not support the process in which we're getting there. I would also suggest that as we look at what protection is, because I think we need to protect the Montelius Basin, but we need to also look from arm's length of what that actually means. By making this an area of critical concern, yes, indeed, we are following this. Some of those who are supporting it are my good friends. In fact, I see some of them in the gallery from the Warm Springs tribe, and I know they support this as well. And yet, as legislative council has told me, they're federal lands, and they have a significant part of this basin. They're not bound by most of the issues that we're passing today. I want to make it clear, there's no intention that I've ever heard of the Warm Springs doing anything on these lands, but they're federal lands, and it is different. I think it's also important to look at, as we give our go-ahead to a process, the reality is, in the land use process, I don't know if anything would ever be built in this basin under our land use system. And the reality is, we're basically in the third inning of a nine-inning game, and we're stopping the game because of rain, and it's totally sunny outside. To me, that is just not right. To me, the process needs to be followed. And finally, Mr. President, a real concern, I did not speak on the previous bill, but as you know, this bill adopts a very small, you can't call it a resort, a 25-home process in the very bottom of page one. But there's a poison pill in that this adopts the management plan if a transferable development right is approved, which we just did in 2228. So when you see the, say, 25 units in this bill, by when we pass this bill, those 25 units, that goes away because we just passed 2228. So this is what I'm talking about with process. I support the passions of those who support the Montelius. I support them, and I support the objective. But I do not support the process that has brought us to this today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Larry George, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. We talked a lot about the process. We've talked a lot about how much we all love certain areas of the state. There's only one issue here, just one issue. And I think we've been dancing around it. We've all been dancing around it. And it's one thing. The state has the right under the Constitution to take private property. They have the right under the Constitution to restrict your use. The question is whether or not we are going to pay people for what we take. That is the only issue that should be debated. And all of these other things of whether how much we love a certain part of the state means nothing. Because what we're doing is we're using our power, our police powers, to create an artificial process so that we can somehow feel better about stealing someone's property and money. And I don't understand how we can sit here and have this conversation around all these things and try to mask it in the idea that we love a certain part of the state. Well, fine. First place I ever caught a fish was on the Montelius River. I love the Montelius area. If we think the best way to protect it is that we want to protect it, then let's just pay these people. Why do we create this mechanism where we try to hide what we're doing? Why don't we bring it out in the sunshine here, folks? What we're doing is we're creating a process where we can steal these people's value, we can steal their rights, and we can say we're doing some kind of greater good. If it's the greater good, we ought to come up with the cash, pay them, and buy that land. And that has not been debated, and I find it despicable. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Bates, do you wish to close?
I do, Mr. President.
For the discussion, Senator Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I think in 13 years in the legislature, this is the worst piece of legislation that I have ever seen. I said it earlier with respect to the previous bill. This is our integrity at stake. This is whether or not a land use system in Oregon is to continue to have integrity. It's whether or not certainty can ever be delivered by any local decisions. It's whether or not we stand for the authority of locally elected officials and believe in the citizens' right to elect them, and in and whether or not we believe in their exercise of their lawful duties under the state constitution and under the local laws and under the laws, colleagues, that we are charged with being the custodian of. You know, a lot of folks wrap themselves in the Constitution. This actually probably is as close to local citizenry's interest as you can possibly get. When you vote on this issue, please ask yourself, does the end justify the means? You know, there's no doubt in my mind of the well-expressed love in the hearts of the people who say they love the Metolian. I believe they do. But I also hope they love the rule of law. I also hope they respect their oath of office. I also hope they understand that the message they're sending with a yes vote on this bill is the suspension of the rule of law and the disregard for the lawful processes of locally elected officials. The messages here are manifold. No to innovation. No to new technology. No to thinking outside the box. No to entrepreneurism. No to investment in moving forward. Yes to staying on the ramparts, no matter what the destruction and damage to local communities. Yes to polarity, no matter how twisted the process becomes. Yes to the outcome, no matter which laws we have to trample, which values we have to destroy, which oaths we have to violate. Truly, colleagues, this is a terrible bill. The integrity of this institution is on the line. The integrity of Oregon's land use system is on the line. So, colleagues, I know you'll vote what's in your heart. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Bates, do you wish to close?
I do, Mr. President. I'm going to take an opposite view on today's debate than you just heard. I think this is the Senate at its best. Passionate feelings on both sides. The conflict between state government and local government. The tension between those two groups and tension between ourselves. This is what the Senate's all about. We don't come up here to have a good time. We come up here to resolve very passionate views sometimes. And that's what we're going to do today. And I think this is what we're here for. This is what democracy is all about. Those who agree or disagree, settle the arguments here by a simple vote. The people involved in this, the local level, one group, the Colson group, the biggest group that wants to develop this area, is my understanding, actually supports this bill. Dutch Pacific, the other group, does not. There's no unanimity at the local level on this. But we have an opportunity here today to deal with a very special issue, and I don't believe we're trampling the laws of the state, doing anything unconstitutional, but simply stepping forth, having a rousing and robust debate, and then settling it with a vote. A vote will take a few minutes. People may ask why Doc Bates is up here talking about the Metolius River. He lives in southern Oregon. He doesn't have a dog in this fight, so why was I asked to do this? Well, part of the reason was I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't have any land there. I don't have any involvement with the area. I just go there to enjoy the area and fish. I've had an opportunity in the last 35 to 40 years to spend a great deal of my time fly fishing the rivers of Oregon, rivers many of you have never heard of, the Omnaha, the far northeast corner. Down on the Owyhee, over on the Klamath and the Williamson, down on the coast at the Elk and on the Sixes, the Rogue River in my backyard. And I've fished these rivers for 35 years, walked their stream banks, walked through the rivers themselves, fished those rivers, and got a feeling for those rivers and knowing what they're like. And they all have special things about them, but there's only one river that stands out in my mind as truly special and different in Oregon, and that's the Matolius. The clarity of its water, the limited fishing in there because of the difficulty of the fishing, the beauty of the river, the bull trout, which may soon become endangered, that are inhabiting the river, its tributaries, the fact that we don't really know where the water comes for that river, all come into my mind. And when it comes down to it on this particular vote for me, it's not about process, whether we did the right thing or the wrong thing through the process, whether it was messy or not messy, whether it's a state's responsibility to protect this or we have to look to the local community for this. It comes to my heart of what's best for Oregon in the long run concerning the Matolius River. And I believe it's time for us to stand up and step up and say, this is something that goes beyond this chamber today and these people today, and something that speaks to the future of Oregon and what we want to save for the future generations of Oregon. And this is one of those prizes. We need to save the Matolius. We need to step up and protect it now. We need to do it today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Richard Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He's joined by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum and Senator Lori Montesanderson. The doorkeepers will revolve the doors. The Sergeant of Arms will attend, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist. Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montesanderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
He is here.
All present.
All those that are subject to the call are present. The question now arises upon the third reading and the final passage of House Bill 3298. Those of the opinion the bill shall pass will say aye, and those opposed no. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montesanderson. Monroe. Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Nelson, absent, Atkinson, voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Metzger, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, 16 ayes.
House Bill 3298, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that consideration of the committee and minority report to House Bill 2831 be taken from their place on today's calendar and placed on the Wednesday, June 17th calendar.
Senator Devlin has moved that the consideration of the committee report and minority report of House Bill 2831 be taken from their place on today's calendar and placed on Wednesday's June 17th calendar. Do your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. We just need to move it over to that date because we understand that's going to be a fairly long debate and that will be a good date to have it on.
Is there discussion? The question is on taking the committee and minority report on House Bill 2831 from today's calendar and placing it on Wednesday's June 17th calendar. All those in favor say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction to first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 982, and establishing an unborn child as an illegal victim of a crime that results in harm to unborn child. Senate Bill 983, an agreement for limited development of forest lands in Deschutes and Klamath counties.
You transmit to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures. Third reading of Senate measure. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 192, the historic property tax incentives, prescribing effective date.
Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 192A comes to you from your Senate Finance and Revenue Committee with a unanimous do-pass recommendation. In 1975, Oregon pioneered the nation's first property tax benefit program for historic properties. The program has been responsible for the rehabilitation and preservation of approximately 2,000 historic houses and commercial buildings across the state. This program sunsets in 2010. For the program to continue, we must pass this legislation. At the present time, there are 539 properties in the program. 37 new properties joined the program last year. Currently, more properties leave than join the program in a year. 40% of the properties, representing 80% of the tax value, are located in Multnomah County. The program not only preserves and restores historic buildings, but also provides an incentive for reinvesting in the properties, which often spurs additional investment to revitalize downtowns and neighborhoods. Redevelopment is very labor-intensive and provides 50% more jobs during construction. This program serves both urban and rural areas of the state, and the bill before you will ensure that it is perpetuated. And colleagues, the Democrats for their retreat met in the Elliott Hotel before this session, and that is one of the star examples of how this program can work in Astoria. I want to thank the Historic Property Task Force created by Senate Bill 416 in 2007, which really formed the basis of this bill. The bill before you incorporates much of the recommendations of that task force with changes to accommodate the fiscal realities we are facing. As you know, the Finance and Revenue Committee has reviewed numerous tax credit programs this session to ensure that they are not more generous than is required to achieve the desired outcomes of the programs. The bill, as amended by the Finance and Revenue Committee, will streamline the process for participation and administration, increase accountability of the participants, provide for a 10-year rather than a 15-year tax benefit for participants calculated using the current methodology. A second 10-year period is allowed to meet seismic, energy efficiency, sustainability, or ADA standards with local approval and an additional investment. The bill requires an upfront investment of 10% of the initial market value within the first 5 years. That's a requirement that can be met through the valuation of sweat equity, which is how many of these properties are restored. The bill would eliminate unintentionally generous benefits for condominiums. The benefit will now be calculated on the market value at the time of the purchase of the unit. So we won't have situations like the one that I have talked about before, where a condominium in the Pearl District in Portland that sold for $1.2 million carried a property tax assessment of $75. That will not be possible any longer under Senate Bill 192. And colleagues, in an abundance of caution, I will declare a potential conflict of interest because I own a property that's in the historic district of Portland and probably would qualify for inclusion in this program, although I am not currently and have no plans to enroll in the program.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please. Does not wish to speak. Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to declare a potential conflict of interest. I, too, own a piece of property here in Salem that's listed on the National Historic Register. And as the good senator also, I am not currently enrolled in any program and have no interest in doing so, but I do own a property and want to declare that potential conflict.
The potential conflict is noted for the record. Recognize Senator Martha Schrader, please.
Thank you, President Courtney. I would also like to declare a conflict of interest.
Please.
I own...
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
My conflict of interest is that I own a property that is on the National Register of Historic Places. Back in 1982, when we purchased the property, we actually did use the tax credit at that time. It was 15 years. It did enable us to do significant work on a 1904 barn, 1910 home, as well as a 1910 windmill. So we are not currently enrolled in the program, nor do we plan to be.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was going to do a vote explanation, but I'll just say it out here straight. Thank you. I'll be voting no on this bill today because I believe it needs more work in the House. The task force, the Historic Property Task Force that I served on for 18 months, took a vote not to support this bill in its current version and hope that we can continue to work on it in the House. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I won't be supporting this bill today. There's about $10 million a year in tax expenditure goes with this. Mr. President, I love old buildings and I love historical places, but the $20 million that this bill will cost or continue to cost in the next biennium would have paid a handsome price for the price on the Matolis for the land that we just took. Thank you.
Further discussion on the measure? Senator Burke, do you wish to close? The question of right upon in the final passage of the Senate Bill 192. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Nelson. Absent. Atkinson. Voting no. Boquist. George. Gerard. Cruz. Walker. Whitsett. 22 ayes.
Senate Bill 192. I received constant majority. Declared passed. Senate will be. Senator Ferrioli, for what purpose do you rise?
For the purpose of remonstrance, Mr. President.
Please remonstrance. Without objection, we will turn to remonstrances. Go ahead.
Mr. President, I'll bet everybody here thinks I'm going to rail about the Matolian, but I'm not. Mr. President, I'm going to share with you a Legislative Council opinion that's been distributed to your desks about Senate Bill 519, Mr. President. You remember that was a bill that generated not some little amount of controversy on the floor and four votes. We did everything, Mr. President, we could do to procedurally warn the body that this would become the capital of unintended consequences. Once again, with the passage of Senate Bill 519, Senator Boquist has diligently requested a Legislative Council opinion, which I summarize. Quote, subject to the caveats described below, we believe that Senate Bill 591 applies to the Legislative Assembly and its employees. The Legislative Assembly is an employer, as defined in Section 1 of the bill, because the Legislative Assembly is a public body, as defined in ORS 174.109. We do not believe the exception for political organization in Section 24E applies to the Legislative Assembly. Simply put, Senate Bill 519 seems to apply to the Legislative Assembly because the Assembly is a public body and does not appear to fall within the exceptions for political organizations. So, Mr. President, when you call your staff together today to have a discussion of the political ramifications of an issue and you make it a mandatory meeting, your staff can tell you, sorry, Mr. President, not going to be there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there further remonstrances while we're under remonstrances? The Senate will be in recess until 1:15 this afternoon. The Senate is now in recess.